allá. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading today from 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 12, entitled Britasura's Glorious Death, text number 13. Ayushi Kirtin Aishvaryam Asisa Purusasya Ya Bhavanti Eva Hitat Kale Yatani Chorvi Pariyaya Ayushi Kirtir Aishvaryam Ashisa Purusasya Ya Bhavanti Eva Hitat Kale Yatani Chorvi Pariyaya Ayushri Kirti Aishvaryam Ashisa Purusasya Ya Bhavanti Eva Hitat Kale Yatani Chorvi Pariyaya. Asisa Purusasya Ya Bhavanti Eva Hitat Kale Yatani Chorvi Pariyaya Ayushi Kirtir Aishvaryam Asisa Purusasya Ya Vantieva hitat kale Vaishnavis. Ayushri Kirtir Aishvaryam Ashisa Purusasya Ya Bhavantieva hitat kale Ayu longevity Shri opulence Kirti fame Aishvaryam power Ashisha benedictions, Purasasya of the living entity, Ya, which, Bhavanti, arise, Eva, indeed, he, certainly, Tatkale, at that proper time, Yata, just as, Anicho of one not desiring Viparyaya reverse conditions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Just as a person not inclined to die must nonetheless give up his longevity, opulence, fame, and everything else at the time of death, so at the appointed time of victory, one can gain all this when the Supreme Lord awards them by His mercy. Purport. It is not good to be falsely puffed up, saying that by one's own effort one has become opulent, learned, beautiful, and so on. All such good fortune is achieved through the mercy of the Lord. From another point of view, no one wants to die, and no one wants to be poor or ugly. Therefore, why does the living entity, against his will, receive such unwanted troubles? It is due to the mercy of or chastisement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that one gains or loses everything material. No one is independent. Everyone is dependent on the mercy or chastisement of the Supreme Lord. There is a common saying in Bengal that the Lord has 10 hands. This means that he has control everywhere, in the 8 directions and up and down. If he wants to take everything away from us with his 10 hands, we cannot protect anything with our 2 hands. Similarly, if he wants to bestow benedictions upon us with his 10 hands, we cannot factually receive them all with our 2 hands. In other words, the benediction exceeds our ambitions. The conclusion is that even though we do not wish to be separated from our possessions, sometimes the Lord forcibly takes them from us, and sometimes He showers such benediction upon us that we are unable to receive them all. Therefore, either in opulence or in distress, we are not independent. Everything is dependent on the sweet will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can repeat the translation. Just as a person not inclined to die must nonetheless give up his longevity, opulence, fame, and everything else at the time of death, so at the appointed time of victory, one can gain all this when the Supreme Lord awards them by His mercy. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Siguru Siyuta Padakamalam Sigurum Vaisnavamscha Sirupam Sagrayatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sirada Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gourangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this verse we see Srila Prabhupada how wonderfully he is explaining this wonderful verse, describing how In the same way as no one wants to give up one's possessions, such as longevity, opulence, what else was there, fame and power, in the same way, but this come, even though we don't want, in the same way, when the time of victory is appointed, says the verse, is appointed by the will of the Supreme Lord, there is nothing we can do to but to receive that mercy, causeless mercy of the Lord. So what is the, do you say in English prerequisite? You see, do you have this word, prerequisite? Or what do we need before receiving that? And Srila Prabhupada explains, right in the beginning of the purport, that one needs to be free from pride, false ego. As Prabhu was explaining yesterday in class, that we are not the controllers. Person in ignorance thinks that I am the controller. Everything, all the results of my actions, it is due because I am so intelligent, so powerful, so famous. Everyone is encouraging me, and that's why I'm so powerful and so successful. And this is the door to failure, because it's based on pride. And we know that everything is sustained by the mercy of by the will and the mercy of the Lord. Nothing is dependent on us, because we are not the doers. We only have the chance to take the right decisions, whether to fall in the lap of Maya or to fall or to receive the holding hand of the Lord, as I was reading, I don't know if it's in this verse, God, or in what something of the purpose I was reading now. So for the devotee, it's just the opposite. Okay, I have to do this. Sorry. As the materialistic person thinks I am the doer, and when he is successful, he takes all the credit, and when he is in failure, he blames others. No, both things are sign of pride. No, because in success he wants to receive the credit, and in failure he's so proud that he cannot recognize that he's committing mistakes, and this is actually the cause of his constant failure. Although he may sometimes be experiencing some happiness and so-called success. But for the devotee, it's just the opposite, because either in success or failure, he sees that it is all the mercy of the Lord. In success, he understands, well, what can I do? I cannot even control the blinking of my eyes, nor the beating of my heart. I cannot control anything of this. And similarly, there is nothing I can control. It is all being controlled and appointed by the will of the Lord. And he sees the success in his activities as being just the instrument of the Lord. It's the Lord who is performing all this wonder. It is not me, I am just an instrument. It is all due to his greatness. And when he faces failure, he understands that this is the mercy of the Lord, because actually the key for success is becoming free from pride, and I need to become humble. I need to become free from pride. So thank you, my Lord, for giving me these failures repeatedly, which are bitter experiences of your mercy, only because I think I am this body. But if I understand that this is your love, then there won't be any problem, any suffering at all. But just seeing the hand of the Lord taking us by his hand towards him constantly. So sometimes people say, old people say, I want to die, I want to die, you know, I want to die. But this is not true. No, because while they are saying this, they are embracing, like we have this example, they are embracing life. No, I want to die, but they don't give it up. I don't know if I told this last other time, but I can't avoid remembering my mom when she was leaving her body, you know. A few years before, she was saying, "I want to die, I want to die." She was over 100 years old, and she had been always very active. And one good thing she had was she had a wonderful service attitude. When she would come to the farm in Spain, she would just sit in the courtyard and make jam with all the old fruit and engage devotees to help her. And she would enjoy reading Bhagavad Gita together and the Krishna book. And she was recognizing, yes, I would be vegetarian, but what I'm going to tell your brothers, no, they cannot give it up. They cannot give it up. They say they want to, but they cannot. And later, when she was hardly able to do, she was still very active and very conscious of whatever conscious she was, but her body was no longer working, and she was repeatedly saying, "I want to die, I want to die." She was telling it to me because she knew that we believe in Krishna, in God, and somehow or other she thinks something good may come by telling these things to my daughter. But when she fell down, I was here in Mayapur, and she fell down and she broke her hip, and I immediately went there. And when I reached there, she was telling the nurse what to do, how to put the pipes, the tubes, and this and that, and telling her things. And I started reading, yes, I told that story, but I don't remember. But anyway, they don't want to die. They don't want to die. And later on, I didn't tell her anything, but we were reading together how the devotee attaining the supreme, no? How the yogi withdraws the senses from the sense object, and in this way he can connect with the Supreme Lord. I don't know how well she was able to remember the Lord, but she withdrew her senses. She understood. I explained it in words she could understand, and repeating what she was doing. This, do you think this is a symptom that you really want to live? Your body is not working. I understand your feeling, but do you think this is really the attitude? And she understood. And when the family were coming, she was closing her eyes. She was not speaking, very rare thing for her not to speak and not to give orders to everyone. And the family were thinking that, oh, she's going now. But when they would go, she would call me, and she was withdrawing herself. So that's the point, to come to understand that we are not the controllers, that we need to give ourselves, whether to live or to die, in the hands of the Lord, and just give up this attachment of falsely thinking I am the controller and the enjoyer. So, and the letters I wrote are very small. I have a hard time to read my notes. I wanted to have everything on the screen. But so we were saying that taking the credit and blaming others is a symptom of pride. So how do we become prideless, no? So mainly by the process Srila Prabhupada has given us, which is chanting the holy names of the Lord, worshipping the deity, attending the morning program, and sharing whatever Krishna consciousness we may have with each other and with people who are approaching. And in all these methods Srila Prabhupada has given us with so much love, it is the name of Krishna in it. When we worship the Lord, the name is there. When we perform kirtan or japa, the name is there. When we preach, the name is there. So that's the basic theme, because he is the one who is going to save us. See, that's the base, the means of deliverance for this age of Kali. Harer nama, harer nama, harer nameiva kevalam, kalo nastieva, 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 gatiranyata. And in every single way we can, we have to make sure that we are connected to one of these activities, no? even when we are performing our duties, understand these duties as a service to the Lord, to help those who are our friends, our relatives, our children, to help them or serve them, assist them in their path towards Him. No? So that's the basic point, to keep on remembering the Lord and glorifying Him. And like Bhagavad Gita says, Tesan satata yuktanam vayatam priviti purvakam dadami buddhi yogantam yenamam upayantite, which says, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. But we have to do it. We have to remain ourselves constantly worshipping or serving Krishna with love in all our activities. And this process that Prabhupada has given us is the perfect process. And if we make sure that our life is packed the whole day with these activities, then we'll get free from the influence of material nature that is so powerfully willing to capture our hearts. No? And in the purport of this verse, there is a very beautiful end of the purport that I thought of reading. It says, a person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but if he is still not intelligent enough to make progress, I identify with that person, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. So there is no excuse. Even if we are not qualified, if we remain worshipping constantly Krishna with love from within the heart, he will give us success, as in this verse it is so wonderfully being described, at the appointed time. So, and he follows saying, the qualification is that a person always engages himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion renders all kinds of services, as we've been analyzing. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be done with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, so two things are required, sincerity and devoted to activities of devotional service, has to be done with the heart, with consciousness, Krishna consciousness, no? That everything is being done by Krishna and I am his instrument. With this consciousness, not that I am doing things, but with the consciousness that Krishna is the supreme controller, supreme enjoyer. He is the one who is performing all activities, actually, through his diverse varieties of energies. And I am just an instrument, and hopefully we want to be instruments in his hands. No? And that work should be done with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of sincerity and devotee to activities of devotional service, then the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. So how hopeful is Srila Prabhupada making the process? He's giving us so much hope for us who feel and repeatedly committing so many mistakes and unable to catch the mercy of the devotees. But this is the mercy of the devotees, even when we are committing mistakes, because this helps us to remain humble, to understand that I am nothing but aspiring to be engaged in the best way by the hands of the Lord. No? So we can pray to the Lord, please engage me in the best way so that I can please you. No? Engage me in the best way. So we can tell him and he will do, because he says that. And there is a wonderful verse that says, Tatenu kampan susamiksamano bujanja evat makritam vipakam hridvagva purbi vadam vidadam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadayabak. My dear Lord, One who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds. That's another thing. Why I'm suffering? Because I am so sinful. I committed so many sins. And still now, I am not remembering the Lord at every moment. So this is sinful. Once I asked to one sannyasi, he was crossing the courtyard there in Spain. I asked him, Maharaj, we are following the four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, reading whatever I can, Srila Prabhupada's books. So, what is sin? I don't think I have reached pure devotional service at all. I don't think that. So there must be some sin. What is the sin? And he told me, whatever we do without intention to please Krishna, that is sin. So that's... So that's why this verse says, patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, past and present also, I would say, and offering your respectful obeisances, and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Another wonderful verse. All these verses are so wonderful. The verse today and these verses of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, no? And so Prabhupada mentions in the purport of this verse that the only thing that a child needs to inherit the property of his father is to remain being his son or daughter, no? So that's the only thing that we need to receive the inheritance of our Father, Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, to remain in the boat, not to jump out of the boat when all this suffering due to all my sinful activities is coming. No? I may get dizzy in the boat with so many waves, I may feel discouraged and depressed even sometimes, but what to do? If when I find myself in the middle of depression, I say, that's useless. Better go on, do whatever. No? I put tape on, music on, or bhajan, or a class, or something, and clean the house. Yesterday I was cleaning the house, because I say, what I'm going to say, clean the house. No, but don't feel depressed. That's useless. And another example is that, in regard, well, let me see, I cannot jump over, otherwise it made no sense. So one has to simply remain alive in Krishna consciousness by following the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. And automatically one becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And in this verse it says, Su Samik Samanam, indicates that a person, a devotee, earnestly waits for the mercy of the Lord while suffering painful reaction of his activities, no? And then he will surely receive the mercy of the Lord. It is like, because this suffering cleanses the heart of all the sins, of all the papa. And it is given the example of the fire. No? If one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire. That's not possible. To approach the sun, one has to become fire. No? So similarly, to approach devotional service, to approach and reach the hand of the Lord, one needs to become completely pure from all one's past and present misdeeds. So one needs, Prabhupada said, to undergo the rigid purificatory process, which may appear in as suffering, but is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. So, success is guaranteed. We only need to remain in the boat. And at the appointed time, as this verse says, at the appointed time, whether in this life or whenever Krishna may agree, may feel inclined to, the success is guaranteed. So thank you very much to allow me to try to serve you. and inspire you, me every day in for with your presence. And if there is any corrections you want to make or whatever questions or whatever.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Madhaji. Madhaji, as you told that for going back to Godhead, we need to become alive in devotional service. We need to be on board.
On board.
Yeah, alive. But Prabhupada says that only few devotees will go back to Godhead. Most of the ISKCON devotees, they will go to heavenly planets. No, they are doing all that devotional service, chanting their rounds, following for the principle. Prabhupada is saying, but most of them will go to heavenly planets. So how we can...
Yes.
Heavenly planets.
Let me see. There was something I wrote down that might match what you're saying. It says, where is that? Sorry. Is somewhere, but yes, there are the devotees worshiping the Lord with different inclinations. No, one who understands that Krishna is the goal, that the Supreme Lord is the goal, but serves the Lord, desiring to enjoy the fruits of action. They are serving the Lord through karma yoga. Those who understand that the goal, that the Supreme Lord is the goal, but serve the Lord speculating with their intelligence to understand the Lord, they are worshipping the Lord through jnana. And those who give their hearts fully in service, I don't know, the description is here, in the service of the Lord with all their heart, as it was saying here, no, to approach the sun, one has to become fire. So to reach the supreme abode, bhakti, prema bhakti, pure devotional service without any, our devotion needs to be free from any tinge of karma, jnana, has to be free from any selfish interest. And that's why all these are devotees, karma yogis, jnana yogis, siddhi yogis, those who look for perfection, but only those who worship Krishna with love, as it is being explained here, not expecting anything for himself, and only those persons whose dedication is selfless will attain the desired destination. Sure, you can describe this, but
my point was simply being alive in Krishna consciousness is not sufficient to go back to Godhead.
What?
We must give our heart to Krishna.
We have to, yes, action is not enough. We need to give the heart, mind, heart and body, all ourself. And therefore when things come hard, it's good, because this is purifying the heart. And if we keep on doing our service, even when things are hard, okay, we can be a little hopeful about it, because it's obviously it's not for fruitive results that we are serving, but because we want to please Krishna.
Thank you.
So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
So, Mataji, she has one question.
Thank you. Some sharing.
I would like you to share something.
Put it in your mouth, otherwise it's hard to hear.
I would like you to share something with us about your what you're reading now about, you know, Yamuna. You told me something about what you're reading.
If I...
What?
Well, and she's asking me if I can share something of what I am reading about Yamuna, Yamuna Devi, Srila Prabhupada's dear servant. Now it's time to finish, but I can say two words. Unalloyed devotion. This is the point. We need to reach the point of unalloyed devotion. And Srila Prabhupada liked this expression very much. He saw a big board in the streets in the United States that was announcing unalloyed steel, no? That now we have so many places of unalloyed steel. And he liked it so much. And he took that expression to express pure devotional service. Our devotional service has to be done with the heart in unalloyed devotion to the Lord. Thank you very much for your comment. Hare Krishna.